Hi, friends. Welcome back to Out of Focus. I'm Shannon Stewart, and today's episode is extra special because I'm joined by someone who shares such a unique chapter of my story. Fans of America's Next Top Model, you are going to love this episode. Brittany and I were on America's Next Top Model All-Stars together, and today, she's not just here to reminisce about that experience, but to share something even more powerful, her journey to faith. Brittany has walked through the highs and lows of fame, searching for identity, and now she is boldly living for Jesus. I can't wait for you to hear how God met her and transformed her life. This is going to be real, redemptive, and full of hope. Brittany, I am so excited that you're on my podcast. I reached out to you and you said yes. I was inwardly jumping up and down.
Oh, thank you for having me. I love it. I love that you have your podcast now and I've seen some of it and I love what you talk about. I'm so honored to be here. I love it. Yeah.
Aw. Before we kick things off, I want to publicly thank you on Top Model All-Stars on the very first episode. Now, when I entered the house, I thought I did a really good job packing clothes, but I did not. I did not think of the challenges and the elimination rooms that I would need outfits for, whatever it might be. So we had to walk out in front of all those fans with Nicki yes. Minaj and Tyra. And I was like, what am I going to wear? And here you come as an angel. And you let me wear your leather jacket. Did I wear your skirt too?
Yes. The skirt, the jacket. I got you all.
You basically dressed me. Yes.
Hey, girl, I got a great outfit for you.
But that was so admirable of you. And I've never forgotten it after all of these years because you didn't allow the competition to get in the way of being kind and generous. And that really spoke to me. And I want to say thank you again for what you did. You were an angel to me. And I really appreciate your help.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I would do that all day long. That would have been silly and petty to not lend someone something because of that. If you beat me over a leather jacket, then I didn't deserve to be there.
But some girls don't think like that.
Unfortunately, you and I both know that very well. Yes.
Yes. And it's so wild that after all these years, we are now sitting here in this time in our life and different seasons. It's amazing. You're a beautiful person inside and out. And I'm so glad Top Model allowed our paths to cross.
100%. I feel the exact same way about you, babe. I absolutely love following you on Instagram and you have lifted me up and given me motivation and so much inspiration. I can't even tell you how many times I'm always commenting on your stuff because I just love how you've always been so bold in faith. I mean, always have. And I've always admired you for that. And I love the way even now, like your just wisdom on things and your way of explaining things is so great. And I love it. So I'm so happy, like you said, that we are paths crossed and that we are still talking today and still friends. I love it.
What did you think about me when you first met me? Do you remember?
Yeah, I loved you. I thought you were like a breath of fresh air. You were just smiley and so happy. And I love that. My path that I walk now is so different, but I still have always been a Christian, but I've just come a long way than what I used to be. Thank God. But I was definitely drawn to that fact of you because I loved how you were out with your faith. And so even right out of the gate, I already like felt connected with you of that because you know how it is doing these things. I mean, especially in Hollywood, being a Christian is few and far between.
It's definitely hard.
Yeah. So I thought you were great. I had nothing but a good, positive first impression of you.
Same. I thought you were so fun and bubbly and you were funny. And I wish I had your wit. That's why I love following you on Instagram. The videos that you create, they make me laugh and everyone loves to laugh. It's medicine to the soul. So yeah, I just love that about you. What do you think the show taught you for better or worse about identity or success, purpose?
Oh, goodness. What the show taught me, I would say, for better or for worse, I think there's a little bit of both in that, right? It humbles you in a great way. I think that going on it, especially being from a small town of Tallahassee, Florida, you get humbled. You're going into this thing with a whole bunch of other girls with big personalities that are beautiful and tall and all the things that you like thought about yourself. You quickly see that everyone's kind of like, or not everyone, but you know, like, I don't know, it just humbles you in a way of being like, oh, okay, it's not just the Brittany show. I got to like work for this and it was challenging, as you know. I mean, it's highs and lows. But I think that the humbling part is a good thing. There's a line to that of being humbled and then being like where it gets mean or cruel. And we've dealt with that, where they put you down a little too much for ratings or whatever to keep us, you know. I'm like, okay, I'm humbled. We can stop there. You got me. But the good thing is it's hard. I did it. You feel proud of yourself at the end of it. You're like, because it is hard. That show is, I don't think I've ever done anything as hard as that again, as far as like entertaining, or obviously I have two kids. I've been through hard. But with this world of entertainment, I think it was a really definitely difficult 2.5 months, however long we were doing that for on our original cycle and All Stars. But
were you on three or four?
Well, on four.
Four, I cannot remember. Okay. I didn't actually watch. People ask me all the time, did you watch the other seasons? No, I did not. After my season ended, I was trying to pursue modeling and I didn't watch much TV.
Right. It was hard too to watch, I found. I worked with a show doing hosting and I had to follow Top Model like after All Stars. And I had to watch it to report on it. And it was hard watching that even then when I had to do it, because it's just like when you've done it, it's like you've seen the strings, right? You've seen the strings. You've seen the way it goes. You've personally felt it. You felt the stress. So it just wasn't something that was fun to watch. I felt like I could feel the stress in some of those situations. And I'm just like, oh, no, I'd rather just watch something that makes me feel good. That's how I am in life with always. I just want to watch happy things that make me feel good. I don't want to watch something stressful and all of that. And I can watch other reality shows, no problem. But Top Model, I cannot watch it. It comes back and I'm like, no, I'm not interested in watching this. So no, I watched a few because I had to, but I never could really watch the show afterwards.
Totally relate to that. I watched All Stars when it first aired and I never watched it again because of the emotions, the memories it brought back of being there. And we got to see the behind the scenes of some of the things, and it was too hard. I'm thankful for the experience. We got to meet girls. We got to go. I got to travel, go to Greece. But yeah, I totally understand. Do you think the show portrayed you accurately?
Not fully. I can't really speak so much for All Stars. As we all know, I was eliminated first. That's a whole different conversation. No,
I was just stunned when you got eliminated.
Yeah, that was shocking to me too. And I'm not someone that's sitting here going, oh, I should have gone. I just felt like that totally, completely threw me for a loop. Just because of my original cycle, I made such good TV. I was so wild and crazy and doing all the things. So I was like, do y'all just not want to make good TV anymore? Okay. I'm like, this is y'all's loss. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, I think that's one thing I was kind of frustrated with when I got back to All Stars and they were trying to push that persona on me again as the party girl. And I was just frustrated by that because I was like, that was definitely what they did on my original cycle. I was 22 years old then. We were in a house for months with girls, as you know, and you can't just go party and do whatever you want. So I was like, where did this thing? Because a few times we would go and I'd want to have fun. And I was definitely want to have fun. That's my personality. I'm very outgoing, especially with all my energy in my 20s. I've always been like, woo, yeah, let's have fun. All right. Like, that's just me. And I don't know. It's like on the original cycle, they kept wanting to always like sometimes bring up alcohol and bring it up. And I'm like, I'm not commenting on that. I remember I had to tell like Dr. Laura, who would do our interviews for production. I would have to say to her, she would say like something like, well, something about drinking or what did you do? And I'm like, no, I'm not doing this. I'm not giving you guys any footage for that. I'm not going to sit here and let you guys portray me and you put your opinion or this persona of myself on me. Like, I don't accept that. I reject that. You know what I mean? I'm not going to sit here and just be like, yeah, call me the drinker or party girl or whatever. I'm not saying I haven't done things like that in my life, because I definitely have. I'm very honest about it. But I was like, I didn't like them like wanting to put me in that bracket or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the label.
Box, thank you. I was like, don't put me in a box. Like and so then we get to All Stars and they're like, the party girl with the martini. And I'm like, ugh. And as someone too, knowing that Tyra doesn't drink and all this, I'm like, I don't want them making me this person. You know what I mean? It's almost like pushing me from her in a way, something that she's not into. I don't know. It's hard to explain, but I'm like, no, stop putting this on me. Stop.
I think it's hard because a lot of the public doesn't know that reality TV isn't necessarily reality. It's not what we experience. They see a small section of the entire time that we're with the girls living in this house and we have all these challenges. Right. And so if we have an argument with another girl, it seems blown up. Oh my gosh, the girls never get along. They always argue. And it's like, no, that was 2 minutes of 20 hours. It's not reality because the footage is manipulated or twisted to fit whatever narrative they want. But they never told me what to say, but they definitely ask you questions.
Right. And perfect example, and you can so relate to this, even with me, with my thing, is they're going to use whatever they find about you, you know, like, oh, okay, Brittany likes parties, she likes to drink or whatever. Then they're going to blow that up even more, like on purpose, bringing it up and making it a bigger deal. Like with you, with the whole lingerie thing or whatever, they're going to poke that as much as they can. They're going to get that out of you and they're going to make it a bigger deal than what it ever needed to really be.
Completely.
And make it seem like this huge thing, or in episodes that got so old. I'm just like, I'm so over. Just let me be me and let us all be, and stop putting these little, like, directing us the way you guys want us to appear.
And even All Stars, when it was pitched, I don't know if it was pitched the same way, they mentioned that it was going to be about branding. We love your brand. We respect your brand. Going into the show, I thought that I could just be me and I would be respected. That was a little shocking at first, the very first episode of having to be asked to pose in underwear and make me into a Victoria's Secret angel when I had already mentioned. I said, I did that on season one and I felt like the Lord gently spanked me and told me, I don't want you to do this again. I had never done it in my modeling career again after that, but we can learn from it and move on and have compassion on other people that are on reality TV shows, because overall, I am thankful for it. It gave me a name.
There's definitely pluses. Sure, yeah.
What was happening in your life that made you start searching for something deeper?
So I grew up in a very Christian family. My grandmother, who just passed this past year, she lived to 95 or almost 95. Wow. She was like literally a missionary. I mean, she's been Honduras. She spent her whole life dedicated to Jesus. She is an amazing woman. Was an amazing woman. She lived her whole life serving God, like full-heartedly as much as she can. Now, my mom and dad were, you know, that's just my family. So just my parents, Christian family, all the things. So what I did can happen very easily, as happens all the time, as I've been around it so much that when I got old enough, I just couldn't, like, kind of broke out. I always had that faith in my heart. I always knew Jesus is real. I love Jesus. I know God is real, but I was young, dumb, naive, and wanted to go live a selfish life for a while. So I moved to LA, and that definitely was some of the darkest days I've ever lived. I had great time. Don't get me wrong. I had good memories. I have great friends. I'm going to sit here and be like, it's whatever. But being outside of this now, I can see the demonic presence over my life, the blindness, the lies, even lies like, oh, I'm a Christian, but I'll be better later in life. You know what I mean? Like the lies, the justification you tell yourself. When I have kids and stuff, I'll get it together or whatever. I can see so many times that I was really dark, and I can pinpoint like how much different my life would have been if I would have been smarter, started following Christ wholeheartedly, and my faith would have been so much stronger a long time ago. I don't regret anything like other in life of normal stuff, but anything about faith, I regret that. I regret that I didn't surrender a long time ago. And so I went through such a dark time of not even realizing how dark it is until like now sitting here from the outside in of being like, wow, I was literally playing with fire so much. And I thank God so much that he loves me so much that he did not just let me continue down that path. And I feel like so many doors were shut that I wanted to open because God was wanting to save me, and being like, knowing that if I got to keep going in some of these jobs or whatever in Hollywood, that he needed me to hit rock bottom, in a sense of needed me to pretty much get out of there. And that's kind of how it happened, of just living in LA. And finally I met my now husband. He lived in Vegas and we dated long distance for a while. And then I eventually moved to Vegas and like, but just started slowly but surely just starting to have that calling, that pull, that I wanted my faith back. I wanted that relationship really back. And I had to get rid of a lot of like darkness and a lot of habits, bad habits that I picked up over so many years of just living for myself. and it's just grown and grown. So it's weird. My journey's a little different. I wasn't like an atheist that just found God one day and then bam. And I wasn't a perfect, or there is no such thing as perfect Christian, but I wasn't like living for God really either. Thank the Lord, he did not come back 10 or 12, 15 years ago, because it'd been a whole lot different story for myself. I was definitely putting one foot in, or one pinky in heaven, I should say, this maybe, and then living for my life. Like, and then if I talked to anyone, I'd be like, yeah, I'm a Christian, da, da, da. And I was, I really believed, but I just wasn't walking the walk. I wasn't, you could watch myself or be like, really, are you? Because pretty sure you maybe shouldn't have been up all night long doing everything else and partying all these things and living in LA, living that life. And yeah, it was just something that I got completely caught up in. I got really dragged into wanting the popularity of LA and the fame of it all. And I just went that route, and looking at it, I'm just like, oh, you could not pay me to go back to that time in my life. It's just something that it's dark. And like living on this side with like my kids and my family, and every day is still trying to just be closer to God and getting over even old habits, all the things. When you let in all that stuff, and you become these habits, it's harder to get rid of one day. You have to constantly work at it. And that's what I would love to tell anybody that's new to Christianity or thinking about becoming Christian. It's like, oh, don't think twice, jump in and just start living the right way. Cause it's like, it's still a struggle. Even though I have the grace of God and I have Jesus and I know he's with me, it's like, I'm constantly trying to retrain your brain and retrain everything else, retrain your body from old habits, old way of thinking that you have to like actively try. It doesn't just come natural when you become a Christian and you're forgiven. And I know that I'm, no matter what I do, he's going to forgive me. And but it's like that nonstop battle of trying to retrain your brain to like not think that way. Brittany, don't think that way about somebody. Don't do that. Or don't, like, you want to post something on Instagram about something. No, don't you do it.
Yes. Renew your mind. Replacing the old with what God's truth says. I think a lot of people can relate to your story because they do have one foot in the word, one foot in the Bible, and one foot in the world. They'll go to church on Sunday. Once Monday rolls around, they're at the club. They're doing whatever they want to do, not surrendering like you mentioned. And then they're going to church back again on Sunday. So the people around them don't see the fruit. They don't see anything different from their life compared to theirs. I love what you said. You said you finally got to the point where you wanted to surrender. You mentioned rock bottom. I wanted to go back to that. What did rock bottom look like for you?
I mean, just a lot of, so living in LA and I had roommates and constantly going out. We lived out in LA. And so I'm definitely waking up hungover more times than not. And then starting to pick up really bad habits for your body, gaining weight. I got dropped by my agency at Next. I was with Next Models. I got dropped with Next because I started putting on weight. Because it's funny how if you drink so much wine every night and then you're hungover the next day, you're not going to go work out. You're not taking care of yourself. You're not getting in any of the things that's good for your brain, not even your spiritual self. Of course, when you're real hungover, you don't really feel like getting in the Bible. Your whole life just becomes someone that you don't even want to be.
You're empty.
It's empty. And you're constantly chasing it with fun. Like, I was trying to fill my faith with fun. And I didn't really understand how you could, especially being younger, and the lies the enemy would tell me constantly, which is something I've had to battle even with still as an adult, is, oh, well, you can't stop drinking or you can't stop doing that because none of your friends are going to, you're not going to be funny. You're not going to be fun anymore. None of your friends are going to want to hang out with you. Who are you going to hang out with? What are you going to do? So that's the lies that I was being obviously told. And it's still, like I said, I still have to work on of that kind of nature is like, no, you can have fun without partying your butt off and drinking two bottles of wine and then feeling garbage the next day. It was a constant. I think one time I remember thinking one day, I can't remember what year this was, but it's in the 2000s, you know, the 2000s decade. I remember thinking like, I think I've been drunk for 14 days straight where I'm gone and not gone. That sounds like I was very like, sorry to say, functioning in a sense. I wasn't messy or gross or whatever. But where I was drinking every single day, I wouldn't say drunk, but I was like, gosh, I've drank like every day. And it was almost because I would feel so bad the next day that then it would feel better to drink something again. And it was like, start the thing all over again to jump back in it. Yeah, it was just a really gross, dark time. I can't even imagine wanting, like being like that, right? Having to go through that again.
I know you mentioned when you look back, you can see God's protection on you. In that time in your life, could you feel God pursuing you and you weren't responding?
Yes. So I did have a church in LA, but it was one of those things that you were just saying. It was go to church on Sunday if I wasn't too hungover, go to church. And then honestly, it was some of my friends would go to the same church and then we would go have mimosas afterwards. You know what I mean? Just completely, like, my faith was always there and I would feel God pursue me and I would feel pulled on it sometimes. Oh, this is such a good story. Oh my gosh. This is crazy. One of my very best friends, Amber, back in Tallahassee, she has got a faith like no other. We were best friends in high school. She was a partier like me. We would definitely go out all the time. Well, she got a really big calling from God and it woke her up big time. Like when we were way younger, this is even before I did Top Model. And she completely stopped everything and went to ministry school, gave her life to God anyway, really rededicated. But I just wasn't there. Like it wasn't my time yet, I should say. It should have been. I wish I would have taken note from her, but I just couldn't. I've told you that lies from the enemy was real strong. And that I just felt like, well, I live in LA. What am I going to do? I have all my friends. Like, da, da, da. I just could not surrender fully. And I went to church with her one Sunday. And when I was visiting from LA and I was in Tallahassee, and they had this pastor who was prophetic, he had the gift of prophecy. And he just said, he was giving really beautiful ones to people in the church that God was speaking through him to, like, being like, oh, like a blessing on this and all these wonderful things. And then it was wrapping up. The pastor, he was finishing up and he said, there's one person here that God is screaming for me to talk to. He is just pulling me. And it was so crazy when you know you're about to get called out. And this is a big church. And I did not go to this church. And I was just sitting there with my friend and I just felt it like, it could have been going to anybody in this whole church. And for some reason, it makes me have goosebumps. He came over to me. I was dying. He's like, God is telling me that you're really in the dark and that you're living in a dark world and you're depressed. And I was so depressed then because I knew it was like, it's unnatural. When you're a Christian and you're living this way, it's going to make you depressed. I mean, anyone, even if you're not a Christian, if you're living that way, but like knowing that your soul and you have the Holy Spirit, this, what are you doing? I did have the guilt and everything. That's even more so than probably someone that's not a Christian. I had that guilt, that heavenly guilt of what am I doing? I'm not living the right life. So he comes over to me and he's just like saying all this stuff. And he's just, God is just sees you and that you're in the dark and you're in a dark place and that you need to get out and all this. And oh my goodness, he's just like, of course I just lose it. And he prays over me and stuff, but it was really crazy. Like the stuff he was saying, it was just like dirt, really, like God was just talking to me and that was it. Everyone has had lovely ones. And then he just comes right to me and it was just so like, and I was just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm just standing in this church with, I don't know anybody. And then it's like coming right over to me and telling me, just basically letting everybody know. I wasn't mad. I was just like, he pinned it. And I'm like, I hear you loud and clear, God. But even with that kind of message, it turned me around for a minute, but it's hard. It's so hard once you're in this kind of place in your life and you just have to, like, God just keeps trying to get you.
He does.
Keeps giving you so many tries. And I think that's what I love about this whole process and everything more and more is like, I know so much how many tries God gives you and it's endless. And he really just wants you to eventually to wake up and surrender. And I'm just so happy to finally be in a part of my life where I can look back and I can see the differences and I can just feel his presence. And I'm just so thankful that he did not give up on me and that I'm able to now to be a mom of two boys and I pray over them like crazy. I'm trying to do everything that I can think of that maybe my mom didn't do for me. My mom was excellent, wonderful Christian woman, but I'm trying to even go over and beyond. I don't want my boys to ever even go through what I've gone through. So maybe that's why I did go through what I went through. Maybe it's for this reason, for being able to talk about it, obviously, and then how to help raise my kids in a way of, I just want the faith-filled presence of God to be so strong in our house. And so like to talk about it and it just be such a natural conversation and not be something. Cause it's weird. Like we didn't really talk about God a lot in our house, even though we go to church on Sunday, my mom's a strong Christian, but it just wasn't necessarily so filled in the house at all times. And that's what I want to rectify with my kids in my house. I want it to be such a common thing.
I love that. That's so important. And you're raising them to know God and teach them young.
Yeah, teach them young and hopefully keep them on the right track. I know kids can obviously go off on your own path, but I really just want to just drill it home to them forever that it's not a path worth going down.
No, it's not. I've been there too. Can you take me back to the time in your life when you were ready to surrender your life? Not your will, but the Lord's be done.
It's just been such a process. I feel like there's so many times. Like even now, we get busy. Perfect example. Today, I haven't felt great, but I wanted to get my reading in, my devotional, and I'm doing this 15-minute a day plan too that I've been doing for 365 days, but it's for 15 minutes a day. And some days you just don't feel it, right? And you just kind of like go through the motions. That was today. But I shook myself out of it a little bit. And I was like, started praying to God and then asking him to give me that faith that I need. And I want to fill the Spirit. Please fill the Holy Spirit with me right now, Lord. I feel distant. And it's not on you, God. This is me. It's me just being like my mind and how we get complacent. We get another task to do, especially with busy lives. And it's like, okay, I need to do this. I need to read my devotional. And I'm like, no, I don't want it to be a checklist. Lord, please come to me. And I want to feel your presence. I don't want to just rereading words. And so I feel like there's so many times, this is on a very much lower scale. I know the question that you're asking about when fully surrendering, but I feel like you got to fully surrender all the time in so many ways, just life, even if it's not me staying up all night long, drinking way more than I should or whatever else I was doing, but it's not to that extreme. But I feel like we can all be guilty of ignoring or putting things off all the time, right? We just get busy. And then all of a sudden, even if you do your devotional, even if you spent time with God that day, you can still feel like you're not really in it. And so I feel that I try to, my pastor said something so great, just being honest when you're praying, we don't have to say this recited perfect prayer or act like we're like, dear God, Lord, be with me when I read this. Like sometimes I'm like, God, I don't really feel like this right now. You know, I don't feel like it. You feel what's going on with me. I'm like, what's going on with me? Okay, let's reconnect. Let's get this going again. We're sinful people. We live in a sinful world and so many distractions that want to pull us constantly. And that is, the enemy is really good at his job. And he knows exactly what to do with each and every one of us that will get our attention. And I am definitely one that he knows, he's got my number. So he's got it. And so I have to fully read it. I feel like I have to fully recommit and resurrender all the time. Like, oh, Lord.
We all do. Every day is a continual thing. Choosing discipline like you did this morning. You didn't feel like reading the Bible or doing your devotional, but we don't live by how we feel. We're supposed to live by the truth of God's word. We do it because we know it's good for us. And when we leave his presence, we will be filled up. We may have to go back to his presence later in the day because we might get a bad message or an email from a person. We might be wanting to respond out of emotion, but we go back into his presence and he goes, you know what? Vengeance is mine. I'll let you take care of it, God. And then we go about our day. I totally understand that. This morning I was in a little bit of a funk. I was like, what is my mood? I was like, but I was like, Lord, I'm going to spend time with you. And I started reading the Bible and then just his words. We could read something over and over again. And one day, all of a sudden, we might see something we've never seen before. That's what I love about the Bible.
True. It is crazy how that happens. And it is just, yeah. And it's so true. When you said like, well, you don't feel it. And it's like working out. When do you ever regret after your workout? Like when you finish your workout, when do you ever regret that? You're like, oh, I feel good now. My endorphins are up. I feel great. I just did something so good for my body. You're like, no one finishes a workout and says, I shouldn't have done that. I should have not have done that workout. No, we always love it. Same exact way. And I have to do that with reading, spending that time with God in the morning, even when you're like, okay, I don't really, it's a busy day. It's like, no, I will be so much better. I will think so much better. It will put me in such a better way to start my day if I start with God. And I think that has been one of my best things that I've really started doing with myself is not even letting the day get ahead of me. I try to do it really, if I can get up, I got to take the kids to school in the morning. So I've got to get up early. But if I can get up a little earlier, which I try to do, then I like to do it before they even wake up. But even if that doesn't happen, you know, life's not perfect. Today that didn't happen, but I got them to school, came right back home. So it's around like 8:05. And then I got right into it. I feel like if I get it started in my day, it feels like a workout. Once I have my time in with God, I feel so much better. And I've tested it so many times where I woke up the other day and I didn't feel great, like mentally, you know, just it's like a lot of stuff on the brain on what we had to do. But I had all this stuff I had to do, I had to field trip the kid. I don't know. Anyway, I had all this stuff to do. So I get there and I do my devotional first and do that. And I just went to school and I had to go to the PTA meeting and I was just in a great mood. But it was so funny because that's not how I woke up. That's not what was in my, like, I woke up just more like, and then just doing that. I knew it. I had God talk to me. Like, I felt it when I was in a great mood and I was talking to some other moms and I was like, and I was just like, hey, and I was just like in this really nice mood for no reason. I still had all the same things to do that day. It's not like they went away yet, but it felt good. And I remember like God tapping me with that, being like, see how your day is right now. See how good you feel now that we're together. We spent time together. I'm here with you. And I just think I love little reminders like that. And I love when God taps you, Jesus taps you, and just like, do you see how good your mood is? And it just gives me that much more. Like, it's like, again, working out, big metaphor. Maybe I love to work out. Once you start fitting in that smaller size jean, you're like, let's keep this going. Right. And that's like the same thing with your relationship with God. Once you start feeling his presence and the Holy Spirit, you're like, whoa, that feels good. Let's keep it going.
I think it's amazing too, how when you choose to spend time with him or you go to church or you serve, how he can multiply your hours and you can get more done because you've honored him and you've given him his time, because he's multiplied my hours so many times. He gives me a supernatural divine increase. Yesterday was one of them. I got so much stuff done. I was overwhelmed. I was like, no, I'm going to give this to you, Lord. I pray that you will order my day, and whatever is not from you, then remove it from my schedule. And whatever is from you, give me your increase. And I was able to do far more than I had ever imagined.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm going to say that verbatim. That's a really good way of saying it. Cause yes, like whatever's not for you, take it off my plate.
Cause so many things could come. I mean, I'm sure you're the same. You could get asked to go here or go there, and it may not be bad. But it may not be something that God wants for you, because you could overextend yourself and exhaust yourself because you're running on empty. And so some things aren't from him that can come to our paths.
Right. And learning how to say no of so many things. I think that's a problem with me in the past too, was wanting to be a part of all these things, right? Like wanting to be in on it. I had FOMO.
Did you have, I was going to fear him. I thought it was YOLO. You only live once. I meant FOMO.
I definitely had FOMO and wanted to be it. Like, if I found out the girls were doing dinner or something or going somewhere, then I want to be there too and blah, blah, blah. But I think that's been another part of this connection with God, and what I've been realizing as well as I get closer with him, my relationship gets stronger, is just to be comfortable of saying no and not doing things and not being upset about it. So I have this thing where this is my flesh, where I don't want to be left out, right? And then that can bring on resentment if I feel like I was left out from something, or if I felt like, why didn't y'all call me for that or whatever, you know, or why didn't I go to that? That is something I'm currently, like I said, there's different stages and different things, you know, or it's not like the partying stuff, but it's my new thing. It's like little things like that of the flesh. And I've had to be like, no, this is not of God. It's good to stay in. It's great to go do some things and see your friends as well. I'm not saying it's bad to do that. I just mean, like, I don't need to be at every single event. I don't need to be that. I need to be more inclusive with my time, with my energy, with being a good mom for my kids. And I think that's the phase of life I'm in currently right now, is God helping me let go of the part of me that always needs to be in the middle of everything, or the feeling that I am not rejected, but the feeling that I don't need to be like to stay here. Like, you know, like I don't need to be a part of everything. I don't need to, and I need to be okay that I'm not.
Social butterfly. You don't have to be a social butterfly, going everywhere, being invited to everything. You know,
right.
You're cool with being home with your kids and having pajamas on at 5 o'clock in the evening and watching a movie.
Right. And I feel like God's even telling me right now, don't worry, your friends are going to even love you more than that. Like, sometimes it's not good to overextend yourself. That's when you maybe say too much stuff you should say. Maybe that hanging out too much, you start saying something you shouldn't be saying, or there's not. So it's not a bad thing to take this time and see your friends when you can. Whatever, but it doesn't need to be like, I don't need to be at every single event, and I need to be okay with when they hang out and do things and I'm not there. That's perfectly okay.
I did want to ask you, since your relationship with the Lord has grown and you've come back to him, have you lost any friendships?
Yes, I have, especially some older friends from when I was younger. I wouldn't say we officially like lost them. You know, I mean, I would never, I have lots of friends that different faith, right? That we don't share the same beliefs, especially from my past. But I'm personally never going to be one of those people that I'm judging them or would not hang out with them or with because of that. In fact, I want to be the opposite and be like, look, we can disagree. I just want to live my life, but I'm also not going to be the same person that you want me to be either. So I wouldn't say, I would just say not as close. You know what I mean?
I totally understand that. Yes.
Right.
When you're not doing what they're doing, they sometimes don't want you around because you're not joining in on what they think is fun. It can be lonely at times, but God has a way of bringing in new friends and new friendships.
And he has. And that has been a huge thing for me in my life. Oh, this is a fun little tidbit. When I lived in Key West, I'm in Tampa now, just for those who do not know that are watching. And my husband and I got married in 2016 and purchased a home in Key West. And we renovated it and lived through it and had this whole fun thing before we had kids. Key West is a very weird kind of place, right? It's just a different city. It's fun. It was a fun little pit stop in life. But I didn't really have close, like, Christian friends there. It's just a different, didn't have any. So that is something that I prayed about a lot when I moved to Tampa. I was like, Lord, please bring me Christian friends. Like, it'll be so much better in my faith and journey with you if I have friends that are other Christian. And I prayed very hard for that many times, that, Lord, I'm, you know, I went from LA, you can kind of guess. And I have some Christian friends from LA. I do have some Christian friends. Then I lived in Vegas. Can't imagine. There's tons, you know, they definitely have a good, you know, there's some great churches there. And I had a good church there. But Key West, they don't really have a lot of churches there. And I didn't have a lot of great friends. So I have yet to really live somewhere where I had a really strong group, faith of Christian women in my life. And so that is something when I knew I was moving to Tampa, I asked God for. I'm like, please just bring me some Christian friends. And he delivered right out the gate. Aww. We got our kid in Maddox into a Small Blessings, a Christian preschool, and it just opened me up to right immediately. Day one, already talking about God together and opening up about our faith and things like that. Literally over the phone, I was talking to one of the moms because mutual friends where our kids were going to go to school, and she was there. And so I got to talk to her before our kids even started school, and she was like, yeah. And I was like, I'm, and I was telling her on the phone, I'm like, I'm really just really wanting to reconnect with like some Christian friends. And she's like, me too. Like I'm even like wanting this. Anyway, it's just a great thing that God delivered that. Even before I actually moved into Tampa, he already connected me with a Christian friend. And then that just grew from there. So a lot of my friends, my kids now go to a Christian school here, private school. And it luckily it's opened me up to having so many Christian friends. And I just love that because I just, at this point in my life, God knows exactly what I needed because I am so fragile in so many ways. We all are. But I mean, I definitely need that. I need to be around other Christians. As most of us, I would agree, probably say the same thing. The enemy is, he works overtime, right? So I find that if I'm hanging out with someone that's not a Christian, it's just like old way of life can come back pretty quickly. Like gossiping or negative outlook. I'm like, yeah, why does she do that? Or like just, I don't want any of that. So I like to surround myself with other Christian people. And that's where I am right now, currently in my life. I just want to get as many like close Christian friends around me as possible because I feel like there's just something going on right now, right? It's something in the universe. There's a shift. There's revival happening. And I just want to be a part of that. And I want to be, I'm hungry for it right now. I can feel it. I can feel the buzz.
Have any of your unbeliever friends asked, what's going on, Brittany? You seem more joyful and content. And there's a glow to you now. I see the glow and I see the difference. And it's so cool to see. It's awesome. Because we haven't seen each other since I was 27, All-Stars. So I'm 41.
It's been too long.
I know. I got to come to Tampa. You have to come to Raleigh. We have to see each other at some point after this conversation.
No. We were just supposed to see each other for a documentary that her and I were both doing. I'm just talking to your fans now. And we were so excited. You're like, we're finally going to get to see each other. Yay. And we didn't.
What a bummer. But we'll have to plan something. I have to give you a big old hug and see you. It's been way too long.
You agree. I know. I really agree. But what you were saying, they've never, I think that the people that are not on the same path, I don't think that they might see it, but they wouldn't say that to me. I think they've gotten their feelings hurt more, thinking I don't approve of their life anymore. And that goes without me saying that. They're just taking things I post. I'll post Christian stuff and I'll post things. I try not to get political ever because it's just, that's a fight that's just too heated online and it gets too nasty. But I have, whenever I post anything or say anything Christianity wise, I think sometimes that I've heard when some of them have come out that they think that I don't approve of their lifestyle. And I'm like, it's not for me to not approve of your lifestyle. That's not what I'm here for. Like, that's between you and God.
That's the thing. We can love someone. We don't have to love everything they do. Obviously, I had an affair. I would hope that I had people around me or that watched what I did or heard of what I did. I hope that they would hate what I did. because what I did was a sin and it was evil and it was wicked. And I knew it was a sin and I did it anyway. So we can love without loving someone's behavior, because that's what Jesus does with each one of us. He loves us because we're his child, but he doesn't love everything that we do, especially if what God calls is a sin is a sin. And we don't get to define or redefine what God says is sin.
100%. I'm like, I just read the book. I didn't write it.
I know. And what's funny is, like, we can quote the Bible and it's like, well, your problem isn't with me. It's with God. Because I literally just quoted a scripture verse verbatim.
I've said that. I'm like, talk to God. I didn't write the Bible. I'm sorry. But I'm also not going to cherry pick what I believe out of it. I believe everything in the Bible. I'm never going to. And I think that's what some people that aren't Christians, whatever, they want us to cherry pick and be like, oh, so you don't believe in this, or you don't believe I, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I believe in everything that the Bible says. And I will always put my faith in God and put my faith in what his word says. And so I can't, it has nothing to do with you. I'm just, if it's in the Bible, then I believe that.
I think they take it as rejection, but we don't reject them. We accept them just as they are, because Jesus accepts that. He didn't ask me to clean myself up. He said, Shannon, come home. And home is a beautiful place to be. I don't ever want to leave home ever again. So we accept them, but we don't have to approve of everything. And I think some things we turn into political things, but it's not political. It's actually biblical. The sanctity of life, what God defines as marriage. My husband calls it the circle of blessability. God wants us to stay inside the circle because the path of obedience leads to blessings. And he knows that sin separates us from the Father, and it causes destruction and heartache and pain, not just to ourselves, but to other people as well. And my life can testify to that. I want to stay inside the circle and I don't want to go out. Obviously, I'm human too, and I'm a work in progress under constant construction of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I think things and I'm like, oh, Holy Spirit, activate. Holy Spirit, activate.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I mean, same. We all struggle. We all fall short. It's just, we're sinful and there's only one perfect, and that's Jesus. And we can only just try to do our best. I try not to, with everything I do and everything online and with all my old friends, I truly come in love and truly love them. And so now if they don't feel as close to me anymore, then I understand, but I never come from a place of judgment or hate or dislike or anything.
No, because they'll never know the love of Christ if we don't show them Jesus. It's a hard balance, because Jesus had the perfect balance of grace and truth. We can't just love, love, love. God is love. God is love. Well, he is, but he's also the great judge. He's a just God. He hates sin, and there's consequences to sin. We have to have that perfect balance. Is there a scripture verse that has spoken to you, or you might quote to yourself sometimes, or helped you in hard times?
Oh gosh, I'm horrible at memorizing, fully disclosure. But I'm trying to get better at that. In my Bible group right now, we're trying to memorize one. And I'm like, oh gosh, I'm the worst.
You know what I used to quote on Top Model in season one when we were posing in bathing suits and it was freezing cold? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. I definitely say that one. Love one that I just do with my kids constantly, with Joshua 24:15. Well, the end of it, you know, like, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's just something I say to my kids every single night. Again, it goes back to what I was saying earlier. I just want that, put that faith in them at a very young, love that, just that little simple thing. Cause I just feel like that's what we all really want here. Right. That's what, why we're here, is to serve the Lord. That one's pretty much in every single night. Like that one phrase just from that verse is in our nightly prayers over and over.
I love that. So what's life like for you now? You have two kids. Do you still model at all?
A little bit, kind of. So I got in, I am with the Tampa Bay Fashion Experience here in Tampa. It's with the Buccaneers, the coach's wife, the Bulls, started this whole organization where it's like philanthropy meets fashion. And so it's all these runway things. And she's like starting to try to make it do be a reality show and all this. But I train their models. I've been training a lot of her models for the past 2 years. So that's been fun. Keeps me in the, you know, doing all the fun stuff. And I love training girls. I do. That is something that I get a buzz from, when you're helping them and giving them confidence to do a strong walk and all that. It's just fun seeing these girls kind of come in all shy. And they're like, by the end of it, opening up. I love doing that. It's super fun. But that's just kind of what I've done. I've done a few, like, they've reached out to me for little local fashion shows here and there. But No, I'm like in a really great season of life of just being a mom and loving it and not really caring about that part. I like doing little things like that, that I like to do, right? But nothing that I feel obligated to do.
So your main focus right now is being a mom. I love that. Do you have any dreams, any things that you still want to do in the future? Or are you just, God, whatever your will is for me?
That is what I say all the time. I'm very curious what God wants to do with me. And I feel like I'm not done. And I know, I feel there's something, but he hasn't revealed it to me. So I'm just trying to be faithful. Listen, I mean, even I took a little break with my Instagram even just because I was like, is this what, I just want to be doing whatever you want me to be doing. And I needed to not, and I'm trying to do the right thing of not making it selfishly about me. I'm trying to not, I love making people laugh and I love making my videos. I just took a little break and I'm just trying to think about what is it like? And that takes a lot of energy and work. I mean, those things are not just like, let me put one out real quick. I mean,
it takes time. People don't even like me editing a video. It does take work.
Yeah. And so I was just like, let me just think about this and like pray to God and like ask him what he wants from me. What if he wants me to start doing that and make it more faith-filled content, I'm happy to. He needs to tell me how and what.
I love that. You're full on obedience. You're full on surrender. And that's the best place to be.
Yeah, I'm just happy, like wherever he leads me. And I'm here. I'm trying to like be open, like, let's let me know. I'm trying to keep my eyes open for those opportunities and I'll jump on it.
To anyone listening that was like you, they had one foot in the world and one foot, they were dabbling in their faith. Do you have any word of encouragement that you could tell them?
That you're not too far gone. And the light and the life you lead when you put all of yourself in, not that one foot, not that one pinky, when you put all in is substantially, not only just on earth, this earth. I mean, the way you feel and the way you're proud of yourself and the guilt's gone and the quality of life you have when without living that life is just, it's just amazing. And it's just, don't turn back. Don't waste another minute or a second. Jump all in and just see where God takes you. And if I could turn back time, as words for the great share, if I could turn back time.
Let's sing it.
Yes. You know I can do my share.
You do. Do it so perfectly.
Yes. I would absolutely go back and be like, enough's enough and go all in. And I would be so amazed. I mean, you can't do that. But I would wonder, I just wonder what my life would have really been like. And I'm happy with my husband, happy with my kids. I'm not regretting anything. And I live in a beautiful home and I'm very blessed. And God, this is, and I thought about this earlier. I'm like, God is so good to me. I do not deserve anything. And I am so blessed to live in this beautiful home and live in Tampa and have my kids in a private school. And I am so blessed for that because I don't deserve any of it. I don't deserve anything. And God is so good that he kept knocking and coming for me. And I am so happy to be here. So if you are in a place that you're not fully in yet and you're teetering or you're still curious about faith, just jump in. And I feel that in this day and age, God, we are here. God is close. Jesus is coming back soon. And I think we all can kind of feel it with the buzz of everything that's been going on. And obviously with Charlie Kirk and just everything, we just feel this like revival going on. And it may not be our lifetime. I'm not, you know, God's time is so different than us. It could be 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 years. I don't know, but we are definitely in the end of times. If you think about the whole world and scope of how like timing is from like how long ago it was since, you know, King David was king. To know, I mean, that was a long time ago. So it could be any time, but I think we're close. It could be more my kid's lifetime, but that's in the grand scheme of time, that's not far away, right? And that's right. What I feel. I feel like we're just feeling in our bones. So I just wouldn't waste any time. Jump in.
They can quit searching because he has a plan and a purpose for their life just for them. And they won't have to fill the void and emptiness inside because he can fill it because that place is meant just for him anyways.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's one of the hardest things. And I mentioned earlier how depressed I was in my 20s with all of that is because of not having him and not really giving it all to him and being with him. It's because you can find peace and stillness in the waiting portion of waiting to see what you're going to do in your life. But I didn't have that peace because I wasn't living in it. I wasn't living for Christ. So I didn't have that peace that I have now. And that peace is priceless, y'all. I mean,
amen. It's priceless. And he actually does say in the Bible, there's no peace for the wicked, whether they laugh or whether they cry. I believe that's the rest of the verse. There's no peace. And like you said, there's nothing like his peace.
You can camouflage it with earthly things. And we all try that. That's why they never work. Drinking, drugs, excessive shopping,
I had an eating disorder. Yeah.
Oh, right. All of that. Right. You're trying to find peace in probably a clothing size, feeling whatever. Like we all trying to like the earthly peace mask it for us. Like, and that was our thing. Like anyone else be like, oh, pretty so fun. I was out like looking like I was having the best life ever living it up in LA. I mean, if you bought like back then people were like, oh, how fun is her life? She's always like out every night. Like it probably looked fun and looked quite glamorous or whatever to some people. Here I am like going out all night and sleeping all day and horrible. Like the peace was not there. The peace was far from there. And I was self-judgment, hating yourself, hating the way I look, hating what's going on with me. Like it's just all of it. It's just a relationship with God in Christ, even in the waiting periods, is so much better than any time of being busy or doing other things. I'd rather be doing nothing with Jesus' peace than being out and being like the busybody that I was.
It's because you found contentment in him. It doesn't matter what you're doing, you're content and you have peace. And I can sense that you're content. It's like, well, if God wants to show me what he wants to show me, I'm willing to do it. And if he doesn't, well, you know, I'm cool with being a mom. I love that.
Right. If this is my season that you want me to be in right now and just being a mom and being happy, then I'm here. I'm waiting for it. And when you want, give me direction to go do whatever else. And I'm here for that too. I'm just waiting.
I love that. If people want to follow you, I know you said you don't post much, but if you do start posting or maybe they want to contact you, maybe your story, they really resonated with it. Do you have an email address or your Instagram you can give out to the listeners?
Oh yeah. My Instagram is at Brittany Brower. My email is the same, BrittanyBrower@gmail. Can't mess up that. I know. And I absolutely post. I post my stories all the time. And I've just been like, and I was definitely, I love my posting on Instagram. I did so much, but I've just been in like a little bit of a break period, but I'm sure it'll be back. But again, I'm just kind of enjoying the peace for a minute.
Hey, it's good to have a break. Sometimes you come back stronger than ever because you allow God to do a great work in you. He can inspire you with his creativity. And it's like, bam, I can't wait to see your next reel. I'll be like, I love your reels. I think you're so creative. But you're funny. You're naturally funny. You were like that on Top Model. You just have a natural wit and it's a clean wit and I just love it.
Thank you. Yes, I do. I love making people laugh. That's definitely part of something God's done with me or wants to do with me is that aspect. I'm just not sure yet where I'll take it.
Girl, I could see you on TV modeling still, but ultimately I want what God wants for you. And I do believe he has an incredible plan and purpose for your life. I think you are a precious person. And I am so thrilled, like I said before, that our paths crossed because you have just been a shining light in my life. And I really do appreciate you. And I am so thrilled that you agreed to come on my podcast. What an honor it is to have you.
Oh, I feel the same way about you so much. Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed this. This was nice. It just filled my cup.
Thanks, girl.
You're very welcome.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Remember, when life feels out of focus, there is always one who brings clarity. We'll see you next time.